So this week's parsha, we read two parshiyos, Baharan Chukosai, and the basic source of the mitzvah of Shvisa Se'oret Tishnas Shmita is in the beginning of Parshas Bahar. And this mitzvah has Chibur Miyuchedes. It has a special significance and special importance in Shnas Sheva. So in America, they are not too busy with Shnas Shvias, but we are living in Eretz Yisrael, and we have this mitzvah Chaviva. So in Ramot, I gave a series of shiurim in Hilchos Shvias, and this is an opportunity for me to give special thanks to my dear friend, who was a steady member of this year, Rabbi Yosef Elburg, and he sponsored the Minchas Osher on Shvias. So most of the shiur that I'm giving tonight is Siman Aleph, the very first Siman in Minchas Osher on Shvias, and Baruch Hashem, the Sefer was very, very well accepted, so we look forward for a lot of nachas and avot and seder together. So in this week's parsha, we learn the mitzvahs asay and the lo ta'asa of shvisa se'oret. Zavar ben Yisrael v'amar kolem ki tzavar oret asher enoysum v'chem v'shav se'oret Shabbos la'ashem. So the parsha starts off with the mitzvahs asay, v'shav se'oret Shabbos la'ashem. And then the posse goes on to specify two lo ta'asa, two lavim, sheishonim tizda sodecha v'sheishonim tizmur karmecha, v'shon ha'shvias. Once again, a mitzvah to say, Shnas, Shabbos Shabbos in Yela Oretz, Shabbos Lashem, Tzotcho Lo Tizra, the Karmachu Lo Tizmor. And then, third time, mitzvah to say, Shnas, Shabbos in Yela Oretz. So the basic question we will be dealing with in today's shiur, is there a difference by halachic criteria between the Etzah and the Lo Tase, or are they one and the same? Two sides of the same coin, maybe the same side of the same coin. Lavar olav ba'asei ubelo ta'asei, as we find in very many different pesukim. Or maybe by that basic definition, there would be a difference in halacha between the mitzvah ba'asei and the lav. And this brings us to a very basic question, halacha lemaise, which is a common question in Eretz Yisrael. In some cities less common, other cities more common. So if you live in Yerushalayim and the various, and most of the shunot in Yerushalayim, well, usually you will have from neighbors. But in many places in this beloved land, you have none from neighbors, and you have a garden outside. And some of the neighbors insist that they want the garden to be as presentable and nice as beautiful Shnas HaShvi'is as the other years. And they insist on working in the garden, working in the yard. And you are a Shoyme Shvias, you are a Shoyme Mitzvah, so how do you go about it? So many Gedol and Paskin, you have to be Matkir your Chelek. And I am very skeptic about the validity and the essence and the significance of Hefker. I mean, Hefker needs to diminish your bialis and your rights and your privilege and your usage and enable others to be Zeuche. So if one out of 10 neighbors is mafker his chelik in the garden, does that mean that the next door neighbor or his cousin from a different city could be in the chelik in the garden? What exactly is he going to do with his chelik in that garden? And the person that was mafker, will the other neighbors forego and forgive his vada bayit tashlumin? What is the significance when one out of a few neighbors is mafker his chelik in the garden? Does that have any validity, any significance? But the basic question is, do I bear responsibility when others work in my field? So obviously, I'm definitely not over on a lo ta'ase, because the lo ta'ase is tzotcho lo tizra v'karmachu lo tizmor, speaking to the gavra. You are not allowed to plant, to sow, I'm not doing anything. Others are working in my garden without my consent. Do I bear responsibility? However, maybe the mitzvah say demands and requires you to not enable and to reject others from working in your field. So the Minchas Chinuch, and the Minchas Chinuch is persistent in his opinion, and it appears four times in the magnificent Sefer Minchas Chinuch, Mitzvah Kuf Yud Beis, Mitzvah Shin Chov Vav. Mitzvah Reish, Sadek Ches, and Mitzvah Shin Chuf Tes. Four different mitzvahs. The Minchas Chinuch makes his opinion clear, and he says, the essence of the mitzvah to say, Shabbos Shabbos and Tiel Oros, Shnat Shabbos and Tiel Oros, is similar to Shvitas Be'emta and Shabbos. And just like a person bears responsibility that no one else should do a Malacha Shabbos with his animal, as we find many places in Shas, primarily in Avodah Zarah Daf Tezvav, and it's a Sif Makor Shel Shulchan Aruch. If you rented out an animal, a cow, or a horse, or a mule, to a non-Jew, and you stipulated that he doesn't do a Malacha with that animal on Shabbos, but he is violating the condition, the agreement, and you see that he's doing a malacha with your animal on Shabbos, you have to be mafkir that animal. You should not be over on Shvitas Be'emtoi. So regarding animals on Shabbos, you bear responsibility that even others, even an unjew, should not do a malacha with your animal. According to Shammai Azokim She'ein Alochik Amoise, the same rule would apply to Shvitas Kalim. But we paskin in accordance to Beis Hillel that there is no issur of Shvitas Kalim. But Shvitas Be'emtoi, everybody agrees. L'man yinuach behemtoho. And the Minchas Chinuch is of the opinion that the same basic rule would apply to Shvitas Ha'oretz. The person bears responsibility that even a non-Jew should not do a malacha in his field, in his yard, in his garden, on his land. And according to the Minchas Chinuch, it would be similar to Hilchos Shabbos. You're not over on a lo tasek or malacha unless you are the one that is actually performing the malacha. But you do bear responsibility that another person, even a non-Jew, should not do a malacha with your animal. The same basic rule would apply to Shvias. You're not over on the lav unless you are the one working in the field. But you do bear responsibility if others work in your field, and that is the mitzvah of Shabbos. Shabbos LaHashem. The Chazon Ish has a totally different opinion. He doesn't quote the Minchas Chinuch because Chazon Ish usually doesn't quote Achronim, but in Siman Yud Zayin, Oschafei, the Chazon Ish makes it very clear that the Esa and the Lo Esa are one and the same. And a person is not over or Mevat LaMitzvah say when others work in his field. The Rambam seems to contradict himself. And if it isn't much of a talk, I would appreciate if I could have a Rambam Zeroim. Does anybody know where the Rambam should be? Rambam Zeroim, in the very first halacha of Hilchis Shmita Ve'yoivel. While the Rambam in the halachas seems clearly to indicate the opinion of the Chazon Ish, the Rambam in his introduction to Hilchos Shmitah V'Yoivel, Protei HaMitzvah, seems to contradict what he says in the very first halacha in Hilchos Shmitah V'Yoivel. So basically, the last halachas in Seder Zeroim in the Rambam are Hilchos Shmitah V'Yoivel. Halacha Aleph, I'm quoting the Rambam, mitzvah say, Lishbois v'shona ha-shviyas ma'voidus oretz v'voidus v'ilonois sh'nema v'shav soras Shabbos l'Hashem. So how does the Rambam formulate this halacha? Mitzvah say, Lishbot. Lishbot, speaking to the person. Mitzvah say, Lishbot v'shnas ha-shviyas ma'voidus oretz v'voidus v'ilonois. V'chol ha-vaitum halacha. Two sides of the same coin. Shenemar v'shav sohoret, v'kolo oisa malocha, v'tel mitzvah sosei v'avar alot aset. Clearly the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish actually proves this halacha from this Rambam. However, in the Protei HaMitzvos, I don't know whether you are all familiar, but the Rambam, three times in his volume, specifies the entire list of Tariag mitzvahs. Sefer HaMitzvot. Sefer HaMitzvot HaKatzar, which we call Minyan HaMitzvot, which is an integral part of Mishneh Torah, actually, in a way, an introduction to me to Mishneh Torah. And when the Rambam, with this tremendous Chachma, formulated and categorized Yudalet Sforim, Kaminyan Yad HaChazok, Yad is 14, covering the entire spectrum of all mitzvahs of Torah, of the Toyad, and the entire spectrum of Halacha that we find in Mishnah and in Gemara. And the Rambam broke it up into Halachas. The Rambam, for each kovetz of the Halachas, writes, which of the mitzvahs, Aseh and Lot Aseh, will I be elaborating in these Halachas? So in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, Yesh Bechlolom, Shtayim Ve'eslim Mitzvahs, Tesha Mitzvahs Aseh, V'Shloshesle, Mitzvot lo ta'aseh. Number one. Shetish boiso oretz memalachto b'shvius. Lo shish bo ha'adam. Shetish boiso oretz memalachto b'shvius. Seemingly, that is the opinion of the Mechutz Chinuch. So we seem to have a contradiction in the Rambam, while in the Protei HaMitzvos, in the introduction to Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, he formulates the mitzvah to say, Shetish boiso oretz memalachto b'shvius. However, in Halacha Aleph, Kol Oisa Malacha B'Shvius, Vital Mitzvah Saseva Avara Lo Ta'aseh. So, we need to find a way to understand the opinion of the Rambam and to reconcile what seems to be a contradiction in the very same Halacha. So, this cannot be a stira. This cannot be seen as a contradiction. One of the most important sources in this big controversy is the Tosfos Rida, Rabbeinu Yeshayahu Arishon, one of the major Rishonim in Avodah Zarah of Tesla. And I won't go into the details and the specifics of the sugya because this is not a koil and none of us did a chana. So just basically, Rabbeinu Yeshayahu Arishon is the Tosfos Rida, one of the famous Rishonim. Tosfos Rida is unique amongst other Rishonim, and he has a style which many times resembles the pilpul of Achroinim. But in this specific discussion, Avodah Zarah Tesvav Amandala, dealing with Shvisas Awards. Betchilas Advarim, at the outset, he assumes, and he makes this assumption very clear, that there is no Issa and Shvias unless the person himself does Amaloka and Shvias. And Shvius is not like Shabbos, not like Shvises Behemle and Shabbos. But then he goes on and he writes that the Shvises Karka Huzharnu B'Shvius Denapkalei Meshavos Shaboso In Tiela Oretz. So the essence of the concept of Shvises Karka, the Shvises Karka, who's Arnu B'Shvius, the Napkale Meshavos Shabbos and Yelores, but also Lahaskir Sodei Olagoi B'Shvius. One is not entitled to rent out his land to a non-Jew in Shvius, in accordance that the non-Jew works his land. So, at the outset of his discussion, he assumes Shvises Sodei O Einoi Elo Shaloyasef. And it is different than Shvises Behemtoi. But then in the same paragraph, he goes on to say, Shvises Ha'oretz Huzharnu, after all the Pasuk says, V'shavso Ha'oretz Shabbos La'Hashem, and therefore, one is not entitled to rent out his land to a non-Jew on Shvius. So if we have a contradiction in the Rambam, so we put that together with the contradiction that we seemingly have in the Tosfos as well. Two of the major Kadmoinim, father and son, the Mabit and the Maharit, going back 500 years, both prove from the Loshon of the Tosfos Rid. The Loshon of the Tosfos Rid is, Oso lahaskir sadeu legoi b'shevias. And they emphasize B'Shvius. But if you rented out the land a year or two before Shvius, that is okay. Even though Shvius is included, you have a lease for 3 years. that is okay because it's Bahavloa. Well, if a person would bear direct liability and responsibility, no one should be working his land on Shvius. Why would it make a difference whether you rented it out last year, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago? By Shvius's Behemtoy, it definitely wouldn't make any difference. But Shvius's Behemtoy, it's clear if you rented out your animals Sunday, doesn't matter when. If you see him working on Shabbos, you bear responsibility. And therefore, you have to be mafkir your animal. So why by Shvius's Behemtoy and Shabbos, there's no concept of Avloa, and Shvius's Oroz B'Shvius, even in accordance to the Tosfos Rid, accepting his opinion that you cannot rent out land for a non-Jew, it is only B'Shvius. But B'Havloa, a year or two before Shvius, it is acceptable. How would we understand that? And that is the opinion, according to these great poskim, the Mabit and the Marit. The Mabit was the father and the Marit was his great son. Prove from the Lashon, from the formulation of the Tosfos Rid. So that is definitely not the opinion of the Minchas Chinuch. And therefore we need to understand the Rambam and the Tosfos Rid. On one hand, why would there be a prohibition having a non-Jew working in my field? And if it is a prohibition, how would it be acceptable if he works a year or two earlier as well? Why would that make sense? We find Havloah in different areas in Torah. Schar Shabbos. Well, Schar Shabbos, we understand. You're not getting directly paid for work you did on Shabbos. You're getting some kind of a all-encompassing global payment, including work you did on middle of the week of Shabbos. So that is not defined as Schar Shabbos. The Mei Shavias, that is a Mishnah in Sukkot Aflamites. When you buy an Esek and Shvius, and an Esek has Kedush and Shvius, and you can't do Schoira, so you include the price you pay for the Esek together with the Lulav, as if you're paying, well, an enhanced price for the Lulav. So when we're dealing with payment, we could understand the concept of Avloa. But if there is a prohibition having an undue work in your field, why would Avloa make a difference? So you rented it out a year earlier. So your lease is on 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. Why would that make a difference? Coming back to the basic argumentation between the Minchas Chinuch and the Chazon Ish, I wonder. I really wonder. So we have an Esa and a Lo Ta'aseh. Everybody agrees if I work in any field in Eretz Yisrael and Shvius, whether I own the field or not, whether it has a proper owner or not, whether it's hefker or belonging to anyone, I definitely am over on Sotcho Lo Tizro, Mitkar Mechu Lo Tizmor. So when the Pasuk says Sotcho and Kar Mecho, our interpretation is not that the lav is on the proper legal owner of the field. Sotcho speaks to Klal Yisrael, your land. Your land of Israel. So regarding the law, where the Pesach specifies Sotcho and Karmacho, we disregard that lotion of Sotcho and Karmacho. We say no. Sotcho means all of us, the entire people of Israel. And when it comes to the mitzvah say, the mitzvah say, the Torah doesn't say Sotcho or Karmacho or Arsacho, Elo Vishav Soho Oretz. Shabbos Lashem, why do we link that to the owner of the field? To me, this is a gewaldige kasha. It doesn't make sense at all. So I specified the mitzvahs to say, we have 3 times in this parsha. Shabbos Shabbosoin Tia La'oretz. Shnas Shabbosoin Tia La'oretz. V'shav Soho Oretz Shabbos Lashem. And none of the 3 mitzvahs to say, does it say Arsacho or Karmacho or Oretz? So why dream up a linkage between the owner and his field? By Shvius's Behemtoy, the Pesach specifies Behemtecho, like Avdecho v'Amoscho, like Bincho uvitcho. A father bears responsibility on his children, on his slaves, on his animals. But in Shvius, there is no linkage whatsoever between the owner of the field and the land. If there is a linkage, that is dafke in the lotaser. And nobody says that a Jew is entitled to work in a field that belongs to another person or doesn't belong to anyone. So why, regarding the lotaser, when the Torah does say sotcho and kamacho, we reject that idea. We say no, sotcho doesn't mean your field. It means the field of all of us, the field of Israel, which includes the entirety of Eretz Yisrael. And when it comes to the mitzvah to say, why would one say that a person bears responsibility being the proper and legal owner of a certain field when the pasuk says, "Ishav sa'oretz shnas shabosan tia la'oretz"? So to me, it is very clear that the Chazon Ish is right. The similarity between Shvisas Oretz and Shvias, and Shvisas Bent and Shabbos doesn't stick. It has no basis whatsoever. It is clear Shvisas Bent and Shabbos bears upon the legal owner of the animal, just like Bincho and Bitcho, Viadcho, Viamascho, Viantecho. However, by Shvias, there is no basis whatsoever to argue that a person bears responsibility because he is the legal owner of the field. If that would be so, there would be no law to ask when a person would be toiling the fields of Eretz Yisrael, Besodesh She'enu Shaloi, and that definitely nobody argues. And therefore, my approach would be a totally different one. And to me, it is clear that basically, by basic definition, the Chazon Ish is right. We all feel the same degree of responsibility to Admas Eretz Yisrael, and there's no difference between the Etz and the Lotas. However, in many areas of Allah, and we will bring various different examples, some of them dealing with mitzvot asay, some of them dealing with mitzvot lo ta'aseh, and some of them dealing with halachic criteria, not even mitzvahs, but rather other halachas. And in all these sources, we will prove that in various halachas, when I perform a deed or an act by an agent who is a non-Jew, it is considered as if I am the one actually doing what my agent or what my shliach is doing, even though he is a non-Jew. We are all familiar with the great sugya of shlichoi shel adam kimoiso, and we are all probably familiar about many halachic discussions regarding shlichus. And I think some time ago I actually said a shiur right here in this basement regarding the concept of shlichus. Was it Parshas Boy, I think, in which we spoke about shlichoi shel adam kimoiso? However, many sugyas in Shas we find that a non-Jew cannot be a shliach, primarily involved Mitzvah Dachovei. Ma atem bnei bris, av shlichachem bnei bris. So when we say shlichus shel adam kamoisa in very different areas, that must be a Jew. A non-Jew is not a valid shliach regarding any halachic criteria or any halachic definition. However, nevertheless, in many different halachas we find that whatever I do by means of another person who is my agent or my shliach, and he's working on my behalf, even if he might be a non-Jew, it is considered as if I was the one that performed those same acts. And I think we will go briefly through about five or six of these. Pri Chodesh Yoredeya Semekuf Chof, dealing with Tvilas Kalim. So usually, if your wife buys a dish or a knife or a spoon or a glass or whatever it is, you go to the mikveh of Shabbos and you take it along and you play with it. But if you have a hotel or a shop or a store or an inn and you have 1,000 plates and cutlery to be given, well, somewhat of an effort. And Jews don't like to physically toil, as we all know. So you take along your workers. They might be Palestinians, they might be Filipinos, they might be whatever they are. And you expect them to unwrap those 1,000 or so items and toivel them. So could a person do Tfilas Kalim with a non-Jew? So there's a tremendous chiddush in the Pri Chodesh Yoredeya Siman Kuf Chof, and he bases his ruling on the Rashba, one of the great Rishonim. And he says, not only it would be permissible to have a non-Jew do the tefillah, you could say the bruch. You say the bruch ha-shekirishonu b'mitzoyse v'tzivonu al tefillahs galen, and you don't even have to dip one kli into the mikveh. Your agent, the non-Jew, do it. And that's a tremendous chiddush. Because one might argue that essentially the mitzvah of tefillahs galen is not to be toivel the galen, but not to use kelim that weren't titled. So actually, I'm not really performing the mitzvah, but it's good enough. I mean, I will be entitled to use the kelim. Maybe I might not be doing the mitzvah. But if the pre-chodesh paskins, you could make a bracha. Well, you cannot make a bracha unless you're actually performing a mitzvah. How would this be considered as if I perform the mitzvah? If my shliach isn't even Jewish, then he's not a valid shliach. Then shlichus lenachri. So how could I make a bracha when the non-Jew is doing the tzvi? And the Machna Ephraim, who was one generation after the Pre-Chodesh, in Hilchos Shluchim Siman Yud Aleph, deals with a different question. Person bought a new house and he wants to use the roof, so he needs to build a ma'ikah. Well, if Jews don't like to do tefillah skelem, they definitely don't like to build mikvahs. So it's been a while since we saw Jewish builders in this land. To my dismay, I wish we would see more of them. But, okay, so he takes two Arabs to build his mikvah. Could he say the bracha? So the Machna Ephraim says, well, if you have non-Jewish workers, title your kelim, and you could say a bracha. The ruling of the pre-chodesh based on the Rashba, the same rule would apply to the mic as well. So you could have non-Jewish builders on your roof, and nevertheless, you're going to be the one to say the bracha, shekadoshonu b'mitzvotov v'tzivonu. So what is the basic explanation? How do we define this halacha? Source number three would be Shubas HaRashba Chelak Aleph Shin Nun Zayin. And the Rashba deals with a mitzvah, not one of the mitzvahs we are to be mekayim with great simcha, even though simcha's a mitzvah is one of the most important basics and fundamentals in avodas Hashem. But some mitzvahs are different. So the Rambam deals with the mitzvah of Uve Arto Haro Mikirbech. Shliach Beis Din has the mitzvah of killing people, administering capital punishment to Dalad Mises Beis Din. Well, it's a mitzvah to say, we are to horo mikirbah. And the Rashba says, by basic halachic definition, the Shliach Beis Din does not necessarily have to be Jewish. He could be a non-Jew, and the Beis Din still would be considered as if they are mekayim, the mitzvah of Uvi Arto Horo Mikirbah. And the point the Rashba makes is, we need a proper din of shlichus when we're dealing with avodas zukeil. When the essence of the mitzvah is the performance of a certain mitzvah. But when the entirety of the mitzvah, and essentially it is not about the actual act, destroying lives is never an objective into itself. Destroying lives is never avodas zukeil. It is punishment, it is deterrent, it is a mitzvah in the Torah. Sometimes, in very sad circumstances, it is what we are required to do. So on a mitzvah, which essentially is all about the result of the mitzvah, and not the actual performance of the mitzvah, even when you perform it on Yidei Nachri, by a non-Jew, it is still considered as if you did your responsibility and you performed your mitzvah. That is the argument of the Rashba. The same sort of would apply to Tvilas Kalim and to Asiyas HaMaika. Building a mic is not avodas zukeil. It has one goal. Pen yipol hanoifel. Al tosim domim b'veisach. Don't create a situation in which people might be hurt, lives might be jeopardized, and therefore you need to build a ma'akah. So the entirety, the essentials of this mitzvah is just the result. The same applying to Tzvilas Kehilim. And a mitzvah of this nature, you could perform a mitzvah even with an agent that isn't Jewish, and it will still be considered as if you are the one that performs the mitzvah. So dealing with different definitions and the nature of mitzvahs, I mentioned before the tremendous chus of simchus mitzvah. The Rambam, interesting enough, it is the last halach and halachas lulav. The Rambam speaks about simchus mitzvah. And the Rambam writes that simchus sheyismach ha'odem b'tziyas mitzvah t'avoyde g'doylun v'kol ha'monea atzmer m'simcha zu ra'ui li'hipora mimeno. And the Rambam proves it from the Teuchacha. Which is an interesting interpretation of the pasuk. Maybe we'll elaborate at a different opportunity. So simchas mitzvah is a great attribute. So how would we relate to a person? He's a shliach beis din, and his job is to administer dalad mitzvahs beis din, to execute people who transgressed. And for the past week, he comes to his office every day and he says to him, nothing to do. After a week, he's a bit distressed. You know, I wasn't Makayim, I missed it for a week. I'm sitting and saying to him all day. And then one Monday morning, he comes to the office and there's a note on the door outside. Two skila, two slave for one headache, three headache. And he is so happy, so overjoyed. Well, today I have 8 mitzvahs. It's been a while since I had such a busy day. Would that be proper? Would that be the right way to relate with him? Well, if I would be in charge, I would fire him without even pitzulim giving him. No. When you see that list on the door, you have to break out crying. No. Well, it's the mitzvahs I say. Yes. But there is a basic difference between the mitzvahs I say of lulav, or the mitzvahs I say of masa, or the mitzvahs I say of simchas chosam vekala, and the mitzvahs I say of uvi arto harom kirbecho. You need a grain of brains to understand that not all the mitzvahs are the same. Some mitzvahs we are to rejoice, and we are to be mekayim with tremendous simcha. And other mitzvahs should break our hearts, and we should be mekayim those mitzvahs while crying with broken hearts. That is the mitzvah of uviyar tohoro mikirbecho. So not all the mitzvahs are the same. In their mahus, in their essence, and even in their halachic definition. And therefore, mitzvahs that are basically all about the outcome and the results, and not about the actual performance of the act, those mitzvahs, doesn't matter how you brought about their kiyum, even through a non-Jew, you did your duty, and you are Mekayim, the mitzvah. So the three first examples we brought to prove this point are mitzvahs asay, Mata, Tfilas Kehilim, and Uvi Arto Horo Mekabecho. Example number 4 is the mitzvah Derabonon, Ner Shabbos, and that is the Bogar Roman Simin Reish Samach Yom. A woman that was already Mekabel Shabbos, and suddenly she realizes she forgot to light the candles, Ner Shabbos. And she definitely doesn't want to forgo this mitzvah. I find that many women are very distressed that they ever forgot that Lopez and Shabbos, and the meaning is to write an additional candle for the rest of your life. And it is very common. I'm asked all the time, is there any way to get out of this predicament of lighting an additional candle for the rest of life? And I don't know why women are distressed. I don't know why. Well, they should be distressed about the fact that they forgot to be Mekayim and Mitzvah, but they should be overjoyed by the fact that from now on they're going to light an additional Ner Shabbos. Why should that be disturbing? I think that is, the two on the Shulchan Aruch bring that a person should light 2 candles on Shabbos. Echot keneged Shomer ve'echot keneged Zohar. I don't even know where the minhag comes from, but almost everybody today likes candles connected on Shabbos. I have no idea where that minhag comes from. I don't think it has any early source. In a way, I think it comes from Ner Hanukkah. Mahadrin Madikim Ne'era Kol Achad Va'achad, and from Ne'er Hanukkah, this minig made its way to Ne'er Shabbos, but none of the Rishonim bring this minig. And everybody is overjoyed to light one more candle and one more candle, and every baby brings along its candle. So why are women disturbed if they light an additional candle? If that ever happened, if they forgot to light a candle, I don't know. I always encourage people and say, be happy to light an additional candle. But anyway, so this lady forgot to light no Shabbos, and she was already Mikavah Shabbos. So the Mughal Brum Paskin, if there is a nun going in the Shabbos going, and the Shabbos going should put on the candles, and the woman could say the bracha. So this fits in with the Pri Chodesh Lagav Tfilas Kelev and the Machan Fraim Lagav Sias Maka. So it is not only a B'diyevet that you have a candle. No, the woman makes the bracha lahadlik nes of Shabbos, even though it is not she, it is a non-Jew. He's not even a proper shaliach, because a non-Jew is not a valid shaliach. And the reasoning is the same, the rationale is the same, because the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is Kvod Shabbos and Oinik Shabbos. That by Suda Shabbos, there should be sufficient light, abundant light, L'Kvod Shabbos. And therefore, it is not actually the lighting of the candle, which is the essence of the mitzvah, but the result, the outcome.
Is so this is... Shabbos itself, she can light
Before the Shkia. But that is for another reason. Because the entire mitzvah of Adlokas Ner Shabbos applies only to before Shabbos. In Shabbos, there cannot be any mitzvah of Adlokas Ner Shabbos. Not because it would be considered a violation of Shabbos. Two things. It would be considered Amira Le'Nachri, which is the Nisa de Rabbanan. And there is no mitzvah of Adlokas Ner Shabbos on Shabbos. The entire mitzvah is the man of this mitzvah there on Shabbos. And therefore, we do not find this halacha only if it still is in Shabbos, it's still before the Shkia, but she has a personal problem because she was Mekabel Shabbos. So we brought various sources to a very interesting concept. There's a Yerushalmi, Peyed Afiud Gimel Amid Beis, dealing with Ktsir Akum. Ktsir Cho, in the mitzvah of Peyed, that is the mitzvah, so it's called a Tiktor, and the Yerushalmi says, Ktsir Cho, Velo Ktsir Akum, if a non-Jew harvested the field, then there is no chiyuv of payah. However, if he's your worker, that would not be considered tzir akum. If he works for you on your behalf, and you're the one paying him to do the job, that would not be considered tzir akum. That would be considered tzir cho. And the ktsayis ha-choshen, in a vendor, very interesting tshuva, printed at the end of the Sefer Avner Meluim Simen Chofei, as a big machlokes with the Netzivis, considering the halacha of Kinyan Chazoka Besoda, or Bebayis. Karka Niknes, Bekesev Nishtar, Uve Chazoka. So the question which the Ktsayis and the Netzivis are dealing with, person bought a house, but before building his house, he took contractors to clear away the existing house, to demolish the house, destroy it, and clear it away. And the company came in, they drove down the house, and then he regretted the transaction, and he wanted to get out of it. And the question is, did he do a proper Kenyan? Kenyan Chazukah. So the Tzais and the Nesivis deal with various different questions. Would demolishing a house be considered chazukah or only something positive, building your house like Noel Godel HaPoretz? Question number two, there were non-Jewish workers. There weren't any Jews working on the premises. Ein shlichus lenachu. And the Tzais feels, yes, and it's a proper opinion, while the Nesivis feels, no, he could still regret. One of the arguments that says brings up is those workers are working for me. They're getting paid by me. Therefore, it is considered as if I was the one that did that job. And he proves this point from Yerushalmi, that Yud Gimel, Agabe Peo. Those people are working for you. You rented that company. You hired them to do the job. And therefore, it would be considered Tzir. So in various different sugyas, we see many poiskim in different fields, Mitzvah Saseh, Lavin, Halachas, that when the essence of the concept is the result, the outcome, and that actually the performance and the actual Maisa, if you bear responsibility for the job being done, it is considered as if you are actually doing that, those actions. And therefore, you could even make the bracha. To the extent that you could even make a bracha while non-Jews are performing the mitzvah. And this brings us back to our basic discussion in Shavuos. So my feeling is, Shavuos Oros and Shavuos and Shavuos Bemte and Shabbos have nothing in common. They have nothing in common. Shavuos Bemte essentially is upon the shoulders of the legal owner of the animal. Shavuos has nothing to do with ownership. But it does have to do who are those workers working for? Who are they toiling for? And who will pay them for doing the job? And therefore, if you bear responsibility and those people are working for you, you're even not only in the mitzvah to say, like the Minchas Chinuch's argument, even on the Lo Ta'aseh Sotcholei Tisra. And if they're working without your consent, you bear no responsibility, neither Lo Ta'aseh nor Asay. To take this argument a step further, there is no difference whether you own that field or not. If those people are working for you and you pay them to do the job, even though you don't own the field, you're over on a Esa and a Loisessa. Loisat Kuloitizla, the Kamal Kuloitizmar. If they are working in your own garden without your consent, you bear no responsibility, neither for the Lav nor for the Es. So when the Rambam on one hand says, Kolawaisa Malacha, Nevatel Mitzvah Sasei V'Over Balotata, clearly explaining, it is only if you do the malacha. But how do we define oisa malacha? How do we define oisa malacha? A liberal definition, interpretation, or a very narrow one? How do we define kol oisa malacha? That's where the Rambam's introduction comes in. Shetishbois ho'oretz b'shnas ha'shvi. Let me explain the basic difference between Prote HaMitzvah and the actual Halachas. Hilchos Shavuos starts off Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Those are Halachas. Prote HaMitzvah are sources. And in Prote HaMitzvah, the Rambam usually defines the Mitzvah. What is the essence of the Mitzvah? Not its details and not its Halachas. So the essence of Shavuos Oros is Shetishbat Oros B'Shnas HaShavuos. That is what the Mitzvah Saseh means. Shnas Shabbosu Intiya LaOros. V'Shav Oros Shabbos LaShem. And therefore, Shavuos is different than Shabbos. The objective in Shabbos is Shavuos HaOdom. This is supposed to be a Yom Menucha for the people. The essence of Mitzvah Shemitah is not Shvisas HaOdom, but Shvisas HaOretz. Shemitah is not about people being idle. It is about letting the land rest. And therefore, by Shabbos, if I tell a non-Jew to do a malacha, that is merely an issue that Rabbonon of Amir al-Anachi. But a Shavuos, if I have a non-Jew doing a malacha, that is allowed. That is considered kol oisa malacha. That is considered as if I am the one to do the malacha. Because the nature of the mitzvah of Shemitah is not about the man. It's about the land. So when you do a malacha and shvius, it is all about the result, the outcome. It is about the land resting. It's not about your doing a malacha or resting. So when the Rambam explains that the mitzvah of Shemitah is v'shetish mitzvah oret, that is dealing with the essence of the mitzvah. It is unlike Shabbos. The Shabbos, it is about your shvius. Your animal is in a way an extension of yourself. Your children, your slaves, your animal, they should all rest. But by Shemitah, it is about the land having shvius. And therefore, when you work the land with the shaliach, even with the nanchu, it is as you are the one that is violating the laws, the mitzvahs of Shemitah. So in my opinion, if you're the one paying to do the job, you're not only mevatla mitzvahs to say like the Menchas Simcha argues, you're over on a lot, regardless whether you own the land or not. However, if it's not you paying for the job, it is without your consent. It is against your will. Even though it's your little garden, you bear no responsibility, neither for the land nor for theirs. So if you have neighbors and they want to work in the garden, all you have to do is make it clear to them that you don't like what they're doing. And if it would be up to you, you would have shvisas orets totally. So you don't have to fight with them. You don't have to be mafker. This hefker doesn't mean anything. It's not valid. And you can still keep on paying by the bite because you don't have to fight around with them. You just have to make it clear to them that I prefer that my money goes to the lighting and to the cleaning and to other things because this is without my consent and I'm unhappy about you working in the garden. And that is all you have to do. And then you bear no responsibility. Coming back to the Taisus Rit, after this lengthy discussion, I think he makes a lot of sense. Taisus Rit says, it's all about the man. It has nothing to do with Shvius Behemtoi. That, however, if you rent out the field on Shvius and you're getting paid, and what are you renting out? You're still the prepper owner because Shvius is lokalia. And you're benefiting from a non-Jew working in your field on Shvius, therefore you bear responsibility, and it is as if he is working for you. Now, he's not your worker, but the rental in a way is similar, because you have direct benefit, and you rented out your field to a person with a clear intention that he's going to be working on your field. And then the Mavit and the Merit argue, but if it's a longer lease, so it is not considered as if you are having direct benefit from the work on Shavuos. I didn't rent out the field for Shavuos, but rather it is a bigger agreement. It is a lease for many years. I no longer bear direct responsibility, and it would no longer be considered if I am the one doing work in my field in Shavuos. So this would be my understanding and my interpretation of this big sugya of Ishavsa or Shavas Hashem. This week we have a very special day. And if last week we spoke about the mourning of Yemei HaSvira, not mourning, but mourning, about Nogei Avedis, about the 24,000 Talmidei Rebbe Akiva that perished during Pesach Latzeres, so this week is Lag BaOmer. And then Amol brings in Tov Tzadik Gimel, that we're noyeg simcha on Lag BaOmer, and we don't say tachmon on Lag BaOmer. And in the Sora Lag BaOmer is more of a simcha than there ever was anywhere else or any other time. What is the simcha of Lag BaOmer all about? There are many different interpretations. So it is a common belief and custom that is the Yom HaDehilula of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that this is the day in which Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, all of a sudden, Shemayro, and there's some soifen, a very famous tshuva in Yoredei, says he doesn't understand what Simcha is. Doesn't understand. This indeed is the day in which Rav Shimon Bar Yochai passed away. It should be a day of mourning. not a day of simcha. The Shoel HaMeishiv goes far farther than that and says he doesn't believe that in the days of the Bais Yosef this was a simcha. Probably it was the days of mourning. Well, obviously he wasn't aware of the Shaar HaKavanos and other sources in Kitzvei Talmidei Ari, which make it very clear, yes, it was a day of simcha in the days of the Bais Yosef, because the Ari was in the days of the Bais Yosef. And it's quite obvious in Shaar HaKavanos it was a day of simcha. However, the Rama writes in Siman Tov Tzadik Gimel, why is Lag BaOmer a day of simcha? Has nothing to do with the demise of Reb Shimon BaYichui, but rather, Mipnei She'oimrim, She'balag BaOmer Posku Malamus, the plague was over. And the plague was no longer, and Talmidei Rabbi Akiva no longer perished. That is what the Rama writes. And that is what the Me'iri brings in the source of the Tzugi of Om Samach Beis. That is a Kabbalah of the Ga'onim, that the plague was over on Lag BaOmer. Why was the plague over on Lag BaOmer? Many times I quoted the Bisor Salanta. The Bisor Salanta says that the Memtes Yemei Svira should be dedicated to Mem Chesvom Shetere Nekneis Be'em. And he demanded from his Talmidim every day, dedicate each and every day to one of those Kinyonim that we learn in Perek Vav of Masechet Avos. If I may guess, probably the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva had the same idea as the Talmidim of Rabbi Sol Salanta, and they too dedicated each and every day of Memtes Yemei Svira according to the list of Menchas Dvorim Shetere Nekneis Bohem. If you number 32 on the list is Oyevis Abriyos. If Lamed Beis Ba'oimah, they dedicated time and energy and study to Ahavis Abriyos, then day number 33, there no longer was a plague. Because that is what it was all about. Shaloi Nagu Kovoy Zeh B'Zeh. Number 32 is Oyevis Abriyos. So number 33, the tragedy, was over. And therefore, Lag BaOmer is a simcha. So this Shabbos, I saw something startling in Rabbi Yankov Emden, in his famous siddur, the Emden siddur. Amud Reish Ayin Gimel of the old and famous print, Chodesh Iyar, he writes, Lag BaOmer is the Yom Shekuloi Din. And that is why it's a Yom Simcha. K'moy Sanhedrin Shero Kulam L'chayim. Satan below Piresh, Pile Ploys. He writes, Lag BaOmer is a day of immense Midas Adin. So how do we cope with Midas Adin? Be happy. An interesting reaction. And he writes with Derech Remez, Sanhedrin Shero Kulam Lachayva, Poitre Moisai. That is a rule of Masechet Sanhedrin. So the majority always has the upper hand in Sanhedrin. But if they all agreed that the culprit bears responsibility and he should be punished, if they all have the same opinion, no, they say, this cannot be right. So he is sent home. What does it have to do with Lag BaOmer? All the different explanations in Lag BaOmer assume a basic assumption. This is a special day because great things happen this day. It is either the Salkus of Rabbi Shimon, or the plague was over. Some say that on this day Rabbi Akiva began to learn Torah with Rabbi Seinu Shebedorim, with his later Talmidim. But Rabbi Chaim Vital, Shaar HaKavanos Shayud Beis, has a totally different approach, which is Kabbalistic, and he writes, Efekim is Midas Adin. When Din is Nefach L'Rachamim, Shem Elekim morphs, and it becomes a different shame. The Aleph and the Mem stay intact. But the three middle letters move over one space to the letters before them. And the Shem becomes Aleph, Chaf, Chaf, Dalet, Tes. Aleph, Chaf, Dalet, Tes, Mem. And that is the Shem Rachamim. And that is the formula in which Din is nefach l'rachamim. So if it just could elaborate and clarify, the aleph and the mem stay intact. The lamed moves one space to the chaf, the hay moves one space to the dalad, the yud moves one space to the tes. And chav dalad tes is begematria lamed gimel, and that is the sod of lag ba'omer, which din is nefach l'rachamim. Eid hagal hazeh. Gal is lamed gimel. What is the gematria of Elohim? Ayin dalad. And that is gal eid. Eid hagal hazeh, that is the gematria of Elohim and the gematria of chav dalad tes. They are the letters which overturn midas adin to midas halachan. Do you know why we say Lamenetzeach Beneginois every night of Sfiras Avoimer, as we find in all the Sidurim in Nusach Sfar? Because this Perek in Tilim is the only Perek in Tilim, Kapitel Samasayim, that has 7 psukim and 49 letters, coinciding with Shiva Shavuos and with the 49 days of Sfira. And every night of Sfira coincides with one of the words in Lamenetzeach Beneginois. Lag ba'omer is Elohim, indicating that originally this should be a day of midas adin. Lag ba'omer coincides with Elohim. And when din is nefach l'rachamim, it is the 3 middle letters moving one space ahead. So my addition to Reb Chaim Vital would be this. Why do they move right and not left? First Medrash in Parshas Bereishis says, "Mitchila olah b'machshav alivro esuolim b'midas adin." Roa Kodesh Baruch Hu she'en olah miskayim. Igdim midas arachamim l'midas adin. So midas arachamim is koydim l'adin, and therefore those letters move l'otiyot hakodmot lehem. And why the 3 internal letters and not the external ones? Why the aleph and mem stay in their place? That is the remez that the pnimius of midas adin is always sarachim, and that is the formula in which din turns sarachim, and chov dalad tes is begematria lamed gimel. And Reb Chaim Vital explains this is the sod of lag ba'omer, and according to his approach, because this is a very special day, that's why this day was zoichel asor ha'toros. This day is special not because of the many joyful things that happened in this day. To the contrary, because this is a day which is unique, and by its very essence, it is a day in which din is nefach l'rachamim, that is why this day was special. That is why this is the day in which the plague stopped. This is the day in which Rabbi Akiva started learning with his Leir Tamidim. And this is the day which is Yom Hilula and Yom Simchosoi of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So these are various different approaches to Lag Ba'omer. But Lag Ba'omer is a day of Simcha, and it is a day of Tefillah. Hundreds of thousands of people travel north to be on the Tzion of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. I'm a disciple of the Kloisenberger Rebbe. He never went to Maran on Lag Ba'omer. But every Lag Ba'omer he made a tish and he set a big pilpul on a mamar of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So, I'll just give you some interesting data. Everybody knows that Reb Shimon wrote the Zohar. Well, Reb Shimon has more halacha mamora mishas than any other Tana. About 2,600 chidushi halacha there are in Shas from Reb Shimon. More than any other Tana. And I think basically it comes to prove, well, Reb Shimon was a shtika lamdan as well. He was not a Baba, as we might define Kabbalists in our time. So Reb Shimon was Reb Shimon, not because of the Zohar, but because his Amal HaTorah and his greatness in Torah is from the first Daf and Brochas till the last Mishnah in Uksin. The great Satmar Rebbe, the Divrei Yoel, once had an interesting comment. Very famous Mamar in Midrash Lamed. Gemara says, a tinnik b'mayimoi, the unborn, in his mother's womb. Ner doyla kavoyshoy v'malach malam bekola toyla kula. Kikin shiotze lavra oylam sotre alpono v'mashkichoy. So the baby in his mother's womb, there's a candle over his head, Miradora Karoisha, and the angel teaches him the entire Torah. As he comes out, La Vira Wailam Sotra Alpona, then he forgets. And the Sahmar Abba asks, what about the Miradora Karoisha? Because don't ask, what happened with that mill? So the Sahmar Abba said, if he doesn't know how to learn, and for that, everything he learned makes no difference. But that doesn't mean anything. As long as he is there, Kola Torah Kola, there's importance about the Ner Dola Kalvoisha. But if you forgot everything you learned, who cares about that Ner? Doesn't mean anything. So Rav Shimon is Rav Shimon, not just because of the Zohar. The Tanya writes that probably Rav Shimon wrote the Zohar in 2 or 3 months. And the Tanya knew a bit about Kabbalah. So the Tanya said some people think that Rav Shimon and Amara was busy with the Zohar. Probably it took him 2 or 3 months to write the Zohar. That is what the Tanya writes. And the rest of his life, he dedicated to Sheshes, the Mishnah, to Bavli, to Yerushalmi, and to all the rest. But Rav Shimon was one of the greatest Tanoim. And there is special significance to the fact that he is not only one of the greatest Tanoim, he is also the Baal HaZohar. And Kol Toras HaSod is based on the Zohar. So on this special day, we all daven, and we should all hope that the Zchus of Tanahu Elaki, we should only know Soros Toivis and Yeshua Sanachomis, Rabona, Bechaya, Bemezon, Ravicha, and we should all be Zoycha, the Kurav Yomein, to Yeshua Salomon, to be as Goyal Tzedek, and to Binyan, based on Migdosh, Ben Hero, Yomein, Amen.